So happy to welcome to our canon Abraham and Elsie, his wife, Abraham and Elsie Thomas, who have come all the way from India to be with us. And if you were in Sunday school, I think you got an idea of the passion of this man, both for the Lord and the ministry that God has given him. And I first met him a little while back. Was it a year ago? It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but close to that. Okay. All right. In God's plan, he had me to meet with Abraham through the connection with Don Wirch. Don had called me up. And asked, hey, I want you to meet this man, and could we meet for lunch? He has a ministry to share with you. Because long ago, in the providence of God, he put Don Wirch and Abraham together. And they became partners in the gospel ministry, first with a children's ministry there in India. And as you saw in Sunday school, that has expanded to many other things. So it was that impression that was left with me, that here's a man of God whom, you know, God's hand of favor is upon, both he and his ministry. And I was thinking of when could be the next time as he asked if he could come and share. And which brings me to the connection of Pastor's Week. I needed to tell you and Dan and I'm speaking for Dan, I guess, a little bit too, giving you our thanks for allowing us to have a week of pastor's conference, have a week of conference where we can get away and just kind of have our batteries recharged, if you will, and a time for us to sit and take in and hear the Word of God. I don't know, maybe it's not a good thing to rank conferences, but in all the conferences I've been to, this would probably rank in the top five in terms of the consistency of the power and content of the messages that we heard, just one after another. And I asked God to do that, and there were several times when he pretty much just floored me with his word this past week, but encouraged me and strengthened me as well. So I want to thank you as a church body who recognize that need to have your pastors go get filled up sometimes, because we need that. So thank you. And with us being gone for the bulk of the week, we have invited a guest speaker to come. And I think it will be very capably filled this morning. So I want to encourage you to open up your hearts and give your fullest attention to Abraham as he comes and shares the word with us this morning. Abraham.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. It's a great joy for me to be here this morning to worship the Lord with you. And we have thoroughly enjoyed the time with you so far, worshiping the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shall we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We can say hallelujah and still be Baptist. I have my wife Elsie and also one of our friends, Len Morgan, who comes to India, came to India several times to worship together. And we have been blessed so far. And I also had the opportunity to share about Agape Royal Ministries in the Sunday school. There are hundreds of stories which I did not tell. And God has been so good to us in the last 17 years. God has done amazing things. We could not do it without him. But we can do all things because of Christ who strengthens us. To God be the glory again. And this morning, during this worship, I would like to say a few words from God's word, so that we all can be encouraged and be reminded of our responsibilities as God's people, as the church of God, to continue to focus on our goal and our responsibilities in the days ahead. I have titled this sermon, "It is time to harvest." When we hear the word harvest, we know it's a time of joy. We do not weep and cry during harvest. We do it with joy. And Jesus is telling us here in this passage that we have already read, to do it with joy, he talks about soul harvesting. something that we need to be doing with joy. In Matthew chapter 9, the passage we have already read, we read it is all also on the screen. Jesus said to his disciples that harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. It's a command as well as it's a prayer. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. Compassion is one of the communicable attributes of God. God is compassionate. Jesus is compassionate. Jesus wants us to be compassionate to the people who are dying and going to hell. So Jesus says, I am compassionate. And he said, harvest truly is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. You are living in a country where you got so many pastors. And some of the states I go to, like North Carolina, every block I can see a church. A First Baptist, then we see a Second Baptist, then I haven't seen a Third Baptist so far. So there are churches everywhere. In this country, you are most blessed. But when Jesus spoke these words, it becomes more applicable to countries like India, where we do not see many pastors. Some of the North Indian states, when we go hundreds of miles, we do not even see a church building even after 100 miles. Not a Christian missionary, no pastor, no Christian witness. But the souls, they are all precious as the souls in the United States. Because they are all created in God's image. They have precious souls like we have. Jesus died for the forgiveness of their sins. He does not want any one of them perish, but have everlasting life. As we read in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what is Jesus saying here? There is harvest everywhere. People need to hear the gospel. They should not go to hell, but pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. There is a great need for workers. In India, we have over 1.27 billion people. The born-again Christians are only 1%. It's the responsibility of this 1% to take the gospel over 1.27 billion people. People living in remote villages, in the woods, who never had any education, but their souls are so precious, they need to hear the gospel. Without Christ, there is no salvation. With Christ, every soul can be saved. And God wants every soul to be saved. I truly believe Jesus died for every soul on this planet. And only by his blood and in his name, there is forgiveness of sin. Jesus says, you pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers so that more harvest can be taken place in the whole world, and we can fill heaven with the soul saved by God's grace. Send laborers. Lord, send laborers. This is that you can continue to pray for India, that God will raise more workers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. About 100 years ago, I know about a woman who was from a nominal Christian background. That church never preached the gospel. In fact, Christianity came to India in the first century. Saint Thomas, according to tradition, came to our state, Kerala state. He established a few churches. But through the ages, those churches never preached the gospel. In 19th century, when some missionaries came to our state, this lady happened to hear the gospel for the first time. She never heard the gospel in her church before. She accepted Christ as her personal savior. She came back home and wanted to go to this newly found home church. But her husband would not allow her to go. When she goes, when she comes back, he will beat her up. So she stopped going to this new church where the born-again Christians gathered together to worship the Lord. She, along with her five-year-old daughter, knelt down on the dirty floor in her home and began to pray, God, give us freedom to worship the Lord. God, give us the freedom to worship the Lord. It continued for several months. One fine Sunday morning, her husband dressed up. He never wore a shirt unless he is going for a special occasion, like a wedding or a funeral. Otherwise, he would not wear a shirt. This Sunday morning, he wore a shirt standing outside. In those days, the wives and husband did not talk much in India. And his wife went out and asked him, where are you going this morning? To her surprise, he said, I am going to church with you. That day, he heard the gospel for the first time. He accepted Christ as his personal savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. God answered the prayer. And he lived up to 90 years of age as a fine Christian. And this lady lived up to 89 years of age. They lived together, worshiped the Lord together. The five-year-old girl, when she grew up, she accepted Christ as her personal savior. Met a fine young man born again. They both got married. God blessed them with a son. At the age of 9, this mother led him to the Lord. And God called him into ministry when he was 15 years of age and used him in an amazing way. And that man is none other than the person standing before you, Abraham Thomas. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why did I tell you this story? This is my testimony, as well as I want you to know the impact of sharing the gospel with the people. And the person who shared the gospel with my grandmother, I have no idea who it is. But God saved my grandmother through that person. And through my grandmother, my mother came to the Lord. And from my mother, I heard the gospel. I came to the Lord. And Lord, help me establish Agape Royal Ministries. And through Agape Royal Ministries, God is saving souls all over India. To God be the glory. And the impact of sharing the gospel is tremendous. It's amazing what God does. When you share the gospel with someone, you do not know the impact of it, but heaven will reveal it. The soul saved because of your effort, because of your prayers, heaven is going to reward. To God be the glory. Why do we preach the gospel? We preach the gospel for 4 reasons. I'm going to tell you the first reason, because Christ commissioned us. Christ commissioned us. Every person needs to hear the gospel before it is too late. Once I was going to a cancer hospital a few years ago. The cancer hospital is nothing like in the United States. These were just a place where we can see so many cancer patients lying on the bed in pain. I was going from bed to bed, sharing the gospel, praying with them. I went to a bedside, a young man sitting up along with his mother. And by looking at them, I realized they were in desperation. They were so discouraged. I began to share the gospel with them. And then prayed. As I was sharing the gospel, giving him hope. Hope for eternity. And sharing about a place where he can rest forever. I could see his face is glowing. At last, by the time I concluded sharing, he smiled. I prayed with him. At the end, and then I went away. The next day I came back to check on him. When I was approaching him, he told me, "Brother, I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ." His mother told me the story. The previous day when I was walking to them, he was already so much discouraged. He is a Hindu. He has a wife, 2 children. He was 28 years of age. And doctor said he is terminally ill. He was knocking his head against the wall and asking his mother to poison him to death. He said, "I do not want to live anymore. I am in pain. I want to die." But when I shared the gospel with him, he received Christ as his personal savior. And after 2 days, he died. I want you to know this. If he had not heard the gospel before his death, he would have been in hell today. But now I know, because he said, "I am ready to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah! He went to be with Jesus. It is because he had an opportunity to hear the gospel. This is what gospel can do. What else in the world would have given him hope for eternity before his death? Nothing else but the name of Jesus, gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus, before his ascension, commanded the church, the disciples, gave the great commission, which says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." I know this is not a new thought for any one of us. This church is already involved in carrying out the Great Commission. But this is just a reminder to know our responsibility as individual. This is not just the Great Commission. It's not just for the pastors. It is for all of us. Why did God save us? To share the good news with others. Not only to worship the Lord, but to work for him. Pastor Greg, as he was mentioning about Jehovah's Witnesses, I have seen in this country they are going from door to door. I was in North Carolina one time. They came and knocked on the door and told me about who they are. Then I realized by looking at the literature, it's from Watchtower Society. I asked them, "Are you Jehovah's Witnesses?" And he said, "Yes, a lady and a man." I said, "We are Baptist. We are already, born again Christians. And so I don't want to hear anything about it." And she asked me, "Can I write a check for you?" She wanted to give me some money. I said, "No, thanks." They are doing a lot of work from house to house. And Easter Sunday, if every one of us brings somebody to this church to hear the gospel, God will save some souls. Amen. The Great Commission is applicable to each and every one of us. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It's our responsibility. God has given that responsibility on our shoulders. If we do not share the gospel, the people will die and go to hell. How many of you believe there will be tears in heaven? How many of you believe there will be tears in heaven? I truly believe. At least there will be tears in heaven for 1,007 years. After the rapture, 7 years, then after that there is a millennium. And after the millennium in Revelation chapter 21, it says, God will wipe away all our tears from our eyes. Until that time, there will be tears among God's people. There are so many reasons why there will be tears among God's people. One of them is because we lost our opportunity to share the gospel with the people. Only when we get there, we will realize how many souls are being saved. And we would think, oh, I should have done something more, something better with the time God gave us, with the life God gave us, with the resources God gave us. So there should not be a time to regret in heaven. And we don't have to be wondering about how we can accomplish the Great Commission and share the gospel. Acts 1:8 says, you don't have to do it with your own power, but the Holy Spirit shall give you the power to become the witness of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and end of the earth. Why do we share the gospel? Because Christ commissioned us. There's no option. It says go. It's a command. It's not something that if we feel like we can do it. No. It says go. It's a command to the church. It's a command to the disciple. If you are a disciple, I'm a disciple, the command is applicable to us. We need to obey the Great Commission so that we can see souls saved. What is the reason? The second reason why we share the gospel is nations calling us. There's a great need everywhere. I know in this neighborhood there are so many people who never ever came to a church, never been saved. But think about nations like India, where 60% of the people never been reached. They are unreached people. Over 2,000 people groups never heard the gospel or heard very little. So Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:20, so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. That's what my passion. Why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone hears one time? God give them one opportunity to know about Jesus Christ and his grace and his power to save a sinner. In North India, when we were preaching, our team was preaching one time in open air, a priest, Hindu priest, was sitting and listening. He had long hair and beard. He was just sitting and listening the gospel. And after the preaching was over, he came and talked to one of our team members. He said, I have been a priest in this temple for 15 years. I have no peace. I never heard anything about Christ. I never heard someone died on my behalf. I never heard by believing I can become a saint, a child of God. Can you come with me to my home and tell me more about Jesus Christ? Our team went ahead, went with him, sat down, shared the gospel, led him to the Lord. He became a Christian. Amen. God can do this everywhere, anytime. Harvest truly is plentiful. That Hindu priest was ready to receive the gospel. If no one had ever shared it with him, he would be dead and go to hell. Because there was somebody when I shared the gospel, we know one day he will be in heaven. The Hindus began to persecute him because he became a Christian. And he had to leave the village. And God's people, there's a lot happening in countries like India. But there's great need. So many people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul had a vision. In Acts chapter 16:9, he had a vision which is called Macedonian call. When he was in Troas, in vision he saw someone from Macedonia standing and calling him. Come over to Macedonia and help us. I represent over 1 billion people in India. I stand here just before you and I'm inviting you, come help us reach 1 billion people who worship over 330 million gods. Come help us. This is a Macedonian call. There are people need to hear the gospel and come to the saving knowledge of Christ. If you and we together, we can accomplish a lot by putting our hands and heart together. I would invite Pastor Greg and some of you, come out to India, preach the gospel. It's a Macedonian call to this church. We need to reach people in every nation. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, including India. My passion is for India. My passion is for my country and our neighborhood countries like Nepal. Come over to Macedonia, help us. Please come over to India, help us. Why do we share the gospel? Because nations are calling. There are nations calling. The third reason why we should share the gospel, the hell is pleading. This is a story very much familiar. Rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, 27 and 28. Rich man lived luxurious. He died and went to hell. He looked up and saw Lazarus in Abraham's lap, rejoicing. He is in heaven. He did not have much in this earth, but he has everything in heaven. And the rich man looked up and saw the joy overflowing in Lazarus' life. He is enjoying paradise. And rich man became so passionate for his brothers. Probably he never looked up before. He never prayed a prayer. And now he became so passionate, he began to pray. Oh, Father Abraham, I have 5 brothers. You sent Lazarus and let him preach to my brothers that they may not come to this place of torment. Have you seen such passion anywhere, anytime? The rich man became so passionate, he does not want his brothers come to this place of torment. Can you think for a moment that we are standing at the gate of hell? We can hear souls crying out, I have a son on earth. Preacher, send someone. I have my family on earth. Send someone. I have my wife, my husband, my brothers, my sisters, my parents. Hell is real. Heaven is real. But I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Send someone. Send someone. I can imagine souls from India who one time believed these 330 million gods will save them, now crying aloud. Their souls are crying out to the living saints on this earth and asking them to send someone, so that they will not come to this place of torment. Jesus said, the field is ripe for harvest, but laborers are few. God's people, every moment we take a breath, one soul goes to hell. There are so many from India dying and going to hell with never heard the name Jesus. And God wants us to be so compassionate. God does not want anyone perish. If we do not share the gospel, they will die and go to hell. Time is so limited. In India, 9 states already passed the anti-conversion law that we cannot convert people from one religion to the other. We cannot convert people to Christianity. Time is running out. Very short. God wants reapers. God wants partners. God wants prayer partners who can work together to accomplish all that we can accomplish before it is too late. to add souls to the kingdom of God. I know there are so many people in this community. The church has a global and local responsibility. I pray your church during this Easter will bring more souls to this church. There are more people to be saved and come to the church, added to the kingdom of God. Also, I pray God save so many more souls in India. Hell is pleading. Those who are in hell does not want anybody else go to hell. Why do we share the gospel? Because Christ commissioned us. Nations are calling and hell is pleading. Finally, why do we preach the gospel? Because love compelling us. Paul says in Romans chapter 9, 1 to 3, Paul says, I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart for my brethren. That statement is so striking. He could say, I have sorrow and grief. But he says, I have great sorrow. He cannot explain how deep it is. I have great sorrow. And continual grief. He is grieving over his brethren who are unsaved. He is in sorrow all the time when he thinks about his brethren not saved. This is Apostle Paul who says, rejoice in the Lord always. One hand, he is rejoicing because he is saved. He is a child of God. We have joy down in our soul because Jesus put it in our soul. That is when our names are written in the book of the Lamb. We receive the joy unspeakable. But on the other hand, when we think about our responsibility, there should be great sorrow and continual grief in our soul that sometimes we cannot sleep, but pray for the lost and do everything we can to reach the lost. For my brethren, my passion is for my country. Your passion is for your country. But as a global church, we have a global responsibility to reach people in all nations. Apostle Paul says, I have great sorrow and continual grief. Do we have that? Are we such passionate people? Do we love sharing the gospel over our lunch, our dinner? Are we willing to leave our comfort zone, go, give, pray for souls to be saved? Paul, a great man of God, he says, I have great sorrow. Our heart should be burdened when we see people lost all over the world. This is not because anything else, because Christ first loved us. And that love is in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And we love God. So we want to share the gospel. We have vertical love and horizontal love. We love God and love the people. And that love should compel us. Go share the gospel. I do it because I love my Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? So during the Passion Week, that's the question before us. Do you love me? If you love me, lead my sheep, feed my sheep, lead someone to the fold, and let them enjoy heaven with us. That's what Jesus wants us to know. And Apostle Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 19:16, Paul says, if I do not preach, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast. We are not doing a favor to God. There's nothing to boast about Agape Royal Ministries. There's nothing to say so much about the ministry growing. It's all about God. It's not Agape Royal Ministries. I cannot but preach. When I gave my life at the age of 15, I will never forget that day. Our pastor was preaching. I was listening to the message. God broke my heart. I knew God is calling me into ministry. But at the age of 15, I did not want to make a decision. I walked out of my church in tears. In tears. My mother followed me. She asked, why do you cry? What's happening? I said, Mom, God is calling me into ministry, but I cannot surrender my life. I'm so afraid. And my mother said, you go back to the church. Tell the Lord all your fears. God will take care of you. And I have been praying for you all these years that God call you into ministry. Amen. I thank the Lord for my praying mother. With fear and trembling, with tears, I came back to the church. No pews. I knelt on the floor. I said, God, I know you are calling me into ministry. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm so afraid. I'm scared. But I'm going to give you my life. Take it and use the way you want to. And as soon as I surrendered my life, peace filled my soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I knew for sure God called me into ministry. I never spoke English. I don't have time to explain those stories. It was a miracle. I went to a place and learned English so that I can at least communicate in a little way. Paul say, now I cannot say, I cannot boast about preaching. Everything is God's grace. Salvation was God's grace. It was pleasing to God to call me in the ministry when I was 15. Teaching me English. Everything happened in the past is history. Agape Royal Ministry is God's ministry. And I preach because I love my Jesus. I love my Jesus. And woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. It's my prayer that today, some young people sitting here, maybe you are 15 or less, if you give your life to the Lord, Lord, take it and use the way you want to. I'm not asking you to surrender your life for a full-time ministry. Don't go into full-time ministry unless God called you. But if you surrender your life to the Lord, according to God's will, God will take your life and use it in an amazing way. The world will be surprised. God can do it. But God wants people who are willing to commit, surrender their life for God. Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we share the gospel? Because Christ commissioned it. So we have to obey. Because the nations are calling, there's great need. And third, the hell is pleading. Hell does not want, the people in hell does not want anyone go there. They are passionate for their loved people. So we have to share the gospel. And fourthly, why do we share the gospel? Because love within us, love that's down in our soul by the Holy Spirit is compelling us. Share the gospel. Woe unto me if I do not share the gospel. May this be our prayer. Let's continue to pray. God, raise reapers. Send them out for harvest of the souls to be added to the kingdom. To God be the glory. Hallelujah.